All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today's episode, I am joined by DW David Walker of the Falcoholic podcast, and he's going to join us to talk about what are the expectations and the strengths and weaknesses of this upcoming Falcons team for 2021, and what are we going to use to define a successful year for this team.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So guys, you know me, I'm Aaron Freeman, been covering the Falcons for many years, formerly at FalcFans.com, RIP, still going strong, however, on Twitter at FalcFans, and of course, the host of this world-renowned Locked On Falcons podcast, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. In today's episode, I am joined by David D.W. Walker at the Falcoholic D.W. on Twitter, a contributor to the Falcoholic.com, as well as the lead host of the Falcoholic podcast, and he's going to be joining us to talk about expectations for this upcoming season, whether it's going to be the biggest strength of this team, what's going to be the biggest liability, Achilles heel, or whatever, as well as what we will sort of use to define a successful year, whether that's a number of wins, whether that's a playoff appearance, whether that's a certain, you know, progress that they show over the course of the year. We'll get into all of that with DW on today's episode. But before we get into that, guys, I do want to plug the Peacock and Williamson podcast, one of the national podcasts covering the NFL on the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get insight on every team and every move from NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson. Follow the Peacock and Williamson podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So with that being said, let's get into my conversation with DW right now. All right, guys, you are Locked On Falcons, and I am joined by another illustrious guest. That is none other than David Walker. You know him as the Falcoholic DW, a frequent contributor to the Falcoholic, a frequent guest on the Locked On Falcons podcast. But if my calculations are correct, it's been a while since he's been on. I believe the Thursday night game against the Carolina Panthers was the last time that, you know, to come and recap that win was the last time DW has been on the show. Obviously, a lot of stuff has happened since then. But DW, welcome back to the show.
It's good to be back on.
So today's episode, we're going to be talking with DW sort of, you know, as we have been doing for the last several weeks. But, you know, trying to pivot a little bit more towards 2021 and sort of what's at stake for this upcoming season. I have talked about it probably too much, and people have started tuning out on the podcast. So we'll bring somebody else to talk about it and give their opinion. But, you know, for me personally, I have been a lot more skeptical of this upcoming Falcons season and team post Julio Jones trade. And I'm wondering, you know, to give more of a positive or optimistic outlook and not to force you into a corner with that regard. But if we're looking at this team and saying 2021, the Falcons are successful, a playoff team, et cetera, what is going to be the one thing or the multiple things that you feel like, you know, 6 months from now, we'll look back and say, oh, this team was successful because of this, whether it's a unit, whether it's an aspect of the team, whether it's an individual, a player, a coach, whatever the case may be. What do you feel like is going to be the thing that this team is going to be able to lean on heavily this year if they're going to have success?
You and I have talked about this in the past, and, you know, the defense often gets, I think, unjustly criticized, and including myself from 2020. I think they were much better than people realized they were. They weren't good, you know, just to be clear, but they were probably around, you know, mediocre. And we've always talked about how, you know, Falcons fans have said, you know, if this defense can just be mediocre, then this team, you know, would have a lot more success. Obviously they're bringing in Dean Pease, but they've lost a lot of pieces. And obviously there's still a major question mark at pass rusher. You know, can Dante Fowler do better under Pease than what he did last year? And, you know, Grady Jarrett's going to be Grady Jarrett, but who else is going to contribute? You know, who else is going to step up in this defense? I feel like the offense is, I don't want to say it's a given, because that's always a perilous take to make in the NFL. But I think there's more reason to be optimistic about that than the defense, even with Julio Jones gone, because of Arthur Smith. You know, and we may be putting too much on that as well. But where when it comes to this team, I still feel like what Dean Pees is able to do with the defense in particular, because the Falcons are facing a lot of young quarterbacks this year. And if they're going to have success, I think they're going to have to disrupt them. They're going to have to get into their heads. And if there's anything that Dean Pees is known for, he likes to disguise coverages. And if he can do that effectively, I think that's where the Falcons are going to see a little bit more of those close games fall in their favor when you've got a defensive coordinator who knows how to take on a young quarterback, who knows how to take on a quarterback that is not as sure in his reads as you know a Tom Brady would be. So I still go back to the defense and thinking that, especially with this schedule, they're facing a lot of young guys, a lot of rookie quarterbacks as well, that could be the difference between them being a 9 or 10 win team and potentially making the playoffs and, you know, sort of rehashing a 6 or 5 win season like what we've seen the past or last year, at least.
So it sounds like you're saying finally the defense is going to come together.
I feel like I've been saying that since the 80s. So, no, I think they'll be opportunistic in the same way that the 2012 defense was. I think the 2012 defense is given way more credit than they deserve. They force a lot of turnovers at key moments, which obviously is going to help a lot. But I think this one could be more opportunistic, and not necessarily because of the talent level being so much better on the defense, but I think they've got a schedule that if they take advantage of it, they could create some opportunities. Because young quarterbacks, you know, even with these guys coming in and having success immediately, if you can just disrupt them a little bit, I think that's where you can gain a little bit of an edge.
Yeah, young quarterbacks are not known for protecting the football, I guess you could say.
Right.
And so we'll have to sort of see if the Falcons can take advantage of that. And we'll have to sort of see what DW thinks on the flip side of things in terms of maybe an area of this roster that still remains a big concern for him heading into the season. And we'll get into that as we continue today's Locked On Falcons. But before we get there, guys, I do have to plug the NBA side of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find a daily podcast devoted to your favorite NBA team, whether your team is like the Atlanta Hawks competing in the Eastern Conference Finals or your team is hoping for that number one pick in the lottery that is or was last night, as many of you are listening to this. So the NBA side of the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered on all things, playoff teams, lottery picks, etc. Check out Locked On Hawks as the aforementioned foremost Atlanta Hawks podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. You can find it hosted by Brad Rowland on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. BetOnline gives you the latest news, odds, and info for all your sporting needs, including NHL, NBA, MLB, and all your UFC and MMA action. And there's no time like the month of June to get started at BetOnline. The NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, as well as baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline. And it's not just sports. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, reality TV. Get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. All you need to do is head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today at betonline.ag and use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. That means if you deposit $200, you get $100 in free money to play with that promo code LOCKEDON for that 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So I'm joined by David Walker of The Falcoholic here talking about this upcoming Falcon season. We talked a little bit about some of the strengths, some of the things that should or could come through for the Falcons if they have success. But I sort of want to look at the flip side of that and don the skepticism hat again. If this team doesn't necessarily live up to those expectations, whatever those are for you, you know, if we're looking back 6 months from now and saying, oh, this one thing held this team back from reaching whatever their goals are, what do you feel like is that area of the roster or that unit or whatever the case may be that you feel like could wind up being the quote unquote Achilles heel of this football team?
For me right now, it's the offensive line. And I go back to back when Shanahan came in 2015, and people forget, you know, he didn't come in with Alex Mack. He came in and he had to play Mike Person at center in that 2015 season. And, you know, the reason Mike Person was there was because the Falcons had previously drafted Peter Kahns to take over for a relatively stable center in Todd McClure. And as we all know, Peter Kahns did not work out. And that gap between 2013 and 2016, when they finally signed Alex Mack, was, you know, the Falcons going through several guys, you know, Joe Hawley, who arguably was the best of the bunch, you know, James Stone, as we know you're a big fan of, Mike Person. And we're heading into another situation where they have moved on from a veteran center. Alex Mack is now, I believe, in San Francisco. And we're looking at Matt Hennessy, who was drafted last year, and Drew Dahlman this year as the two guys potentially to start. And neither guy has started in the NFL before. And that is a big, big question mark in the middle of the offensive line. Right now, I think if you look at the five guys, to me, there's only two players that I would consider to be stable. The criminally underrated Jake Matthews, and Aaron, you and I have gotten into fights with people about that. He is a much better player than these fans realize. And then, you know, at right guard, Chris Lindstrom, who I think is, you know, rounding out into a very solid, you know, maybe even not even yet hitting his full potential as an interior offensive lineman. You go to the right tackle, you know, Caleb McGarry, I thought, did better, but he was not good last year. I felt like Matt Gono, who now obviously, you know, has the injury situation, could have pushed him this year. Left guard, we have no idea, like, right now who that guy is going to be. That is a lot of positions with question marks on that offensive line. And that is going to mean Arthur Smith is going to pull some magic to bull, you know, to get that unit to play well. But it, yeah, that's the one to me that if this team does not have a good season, I think we're going to look at the offensive line and say they just had too many holes to try to fix immediately.
Now, my next question is, given that the Falcons are going to have a little bit of cap space, you know, a little more than $8 million once all their rookies are signed, once they get Kyle Pitts signed, the last of those guys, is the offensive line or is it another position that you would like to personally see the Falcons maybe potentially address before training camp with some of that money that's left over?
You know, it's funny. I think everyone is ready to spend money. And I get it. You know, they freed up all that space and you want to see them do something with it. In my mind, the Falcons were never going to be contenders in 2021. I had already scratched off 2021 as far as them being able to compete realistically. Maybe they can squeeze into the playoffs if everything goes right and you know, things sort of fall their way. But I was never counting on this season to be one where they were going to be a serious, you know, threat to the, you know, to Tampa Bay in the NFC South, much less the rest of the NFC picture. So in that vein, I'm not necessarily keen on them trying to sign a bunch of guys to make this a highly competitive team. I don't think it's possible. Now, if they are going to sign somebody, my preference would be to, you know, to get that interior of the offensive line fixed up a little bit, put a little bit more depth there with veterans, because they've got a lot of young guys, you know, with maybe some potential, but it seems like they're a little bit lacking in veteran presence. And I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they wait to see, you know, who in the league sort of drops off of teams. You know, there's that third wave of free agency when, you know, teams get their rookies signed, they get some of these guys into camp, and some of these veterans sort of, you know, hit the road midway through training camp. And those are the guys I think they may look at. But outside of that, maybe another pass rusher, but maybe like a Justin Houston, be nice to see him come into Atlanta. But in my mind, it's not a necessity, because I think if you're looking to bring those guys in, you're sort of saying, I think we can compete this year. And in my mind, that's off the table. I just don't think that that's a realistic situation with this roster.
Interesting. Okay. So speaking of this team's ability to compete this year, you know, I want to ask you a bit about what you think, you know, a successful season is for this team, you know, from a wins and losses standpoint. We can get into that as we wrap up today's Locked On Falcons. But before we get there, I gotta keep plugging the Locked On Braves podcast, one of the daily podcasts devoted to your favorite MLB team here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Check out the Locked On Braves podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. So, guys, I've recently told you several months ago how I had to get my brakes fixed and a taillight replaced, and I wound up paying a lot more money than I should have because I wound up kicking myself once I saw the receipt because I knew all I had to do was go to rockauto.com. They have everything from the engine control models, motor oil, and new carpet, as well as the brake parts and tail lamps that I needed, and I could have gotten everything I needed in a few easy clicks delivered directly to my door, and you can too because the rockauto.com catalog is unique. It's easy to navigate, and you can quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose by brand, specification, and the price that you prefer, and those prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. I need to be a do-it-yourselfer so that I can save money. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Just go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in the "How Did You Hear About Us" box so that they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. Now, did you know that Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar on the market, has 9 delicious flavors? Whether you're a fan of coconut almond like me, or you prefer mint brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, salted caramel, coconut or raspberry, there is something for everyone. And there's also the occasional limited time flavor like strawberry or orange as well. You can try them all with a mix box, getting 2 each of all 9 flavors. Built Bars contain 100% real chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they taste just like a candy bar. The coconut almond tastes just like an Almond Joy. And it's not just about their great taste. They're healthy, too. They're low in sugar and calories, high in protein and fiber. Head over to the website at BuiltBar.com. Check out the limited time flavors like strawberry and orange on sale all summer long. And when you do, use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. So wrapping up today's Locked On Falcons podcast here with DW of the Falcoholic, I want to get your thoughts on what is a successful season for this Falcon team this upcoming season. Maybe get a win total, however you want to sort of explain it. But you say already that you don't really expect this team to be competitive, at least in the sense of challenging for the division. You say maybe they can get to the postseason. What for you is a successful year for the Falcons?
For me, it's less about a fixed number and more about trajectory, because you know, this 2021 in my mind is more about what's going to, you know, be the complexion of the team going into 2022. Because again, I think they could make the playoffs if everything goes right and they take advantage of, you know, this relatively weak schedule they've got. But I think when they go up against a Green Bay or a Tampa Bay, I think they're going to be knocked out. And that's, fans will be frustrated by that, but that's just how I feel about the composition of this roster compared to other NFC teams, right? For me, it's about the trajectory. They're installing a new offense. Arthur Smith is coming in. He's rebuilding this team into his image. You know, they're installing a new defense. You know, across the board, we're seeing, philosophical changes on the offense, on the defensive side. But really, it's if you're thinking about what is a success for this team, it's about the long term. It has to be about the long term. And I think we'll have a better feel for that as we get towards the back half of the season. Is the offense clicking better? Are they doing things and executing Arthur Smith's offense better than they did at the beginning of the season? I think at least me, and I know many people, expect there to be a lot of hiccups at the beginning of the season, especially with the offense, as this team learns to execute what Arthur Smith is wanting to install. And the same is going to be true on the defense. But do they look better in week 10 than they looked in week 2? Do they look better in week 14 than they looked in week 10? It's that trajectory. If they're improving, if they're getting better, it doesn't have to manifest itself in wins. I think it ultimately will, but I think the trajectory is what I'm going to be looking at to determine if this was a successful season. They could finish with 6 or 7 wins, look like a team that's coming together in a way. In the same way, I said this at the end of 2015, and I got a lot of crap from fans who were ready to shoot Kyle Shanahan into the moon. But the offense in the back few games in 2015 was starting to pick up on some of the concepts more. And that gave me some optimism that 2016 was going to be better. And that's sort of how I'm viewing this season. I see this as the 2015. It's about the building blocks. It's about what is going to be the sign of things to come.
One of the things I've talked about on this pod over the last couple of weeks is sort of the pressure to win. And it sounds like you don't think necessarily, you're not going into the season with the expectations that this team is going to, you know, rack up a ton of wins this upcoming season. Do you feel like then if, let's say they win, you know, 7 or 8 games this year, do you feel that that puts extra pressure on them to basically do what you're talking about, where they went from 2015 into 2016, obviously not necessarily saying that they have to be go to the Super Bowl in 2022, but does that put extra pressure on this team to basically make a big jump from year one to year two and be a playoff contender and be a team that, you know, at least in theory could make a potential deep run in the postseason?
I think it does. And I think the name here that really pushes that is Matt Ryan. You know, the team sort of committed to him at least for the immediate future. And, you know, I never bought into the idea that 2020, that they were pushing to win right now, like 2021. But I did buy into the idea that they could start winning and being competitive in a realistic way where they could push the top teams in the division, push the top teams in NFC by 2022. Because they were banking on Matt Ryan having 3 or 4, you know, maybe 5 good seasons left, you know, at being age 36 right now. So, yes, I actually do think that there will be some pressure in 2022 for them to win, especially if they get close in 2021, which I think is probably where they're going to land, where they're going to be around. Obviously, they can't land at 500 now with 17 games, but, you know, 7, 8 wins, where they're just under 500. I think they're going to go in with some expectations because, you know, you're going to go into 2022 with a Kyle Pitts that now has a full season under his belt, with an Arthur Smith that, you know, has been able to install his entire offensive scheme and get these guys ready to go. So, yes, I do believe that 2022 will carry much higher expectations, including, you know, playoff expectations, especially if this season gets anywhere close to 500.
TW, don't underestimate the 8-8-1 final record.
It's going to happen now. Like it's you have talked it into the universe.
Someone's going to go 8-8-1 this year, and they're going to. It's going to be weird. DW, I appreciate you coming on and sharing your insight into those things and talking with the listenership about some of these issues that the Falcons are going to have going forward and offering a very balanced perspective on this. And we'll sort of see what happens over the next 6 months. You know, obviously, hopefully we'll get you back on at some point, maybe multiple times between now and then. But it'll be interesting to sort of see what develops, you know, and what the conversation is going to be 6 months from now. But in the meantime, let the people know, you know, what you got going on over at that official podcast over at the Falcoholic, as well as what you got over at Falcoholic.com.
Yeah. You can find our articles at thefalcoholic.com daily. We're going through some of the normal stuff we go through at this time of year as we wait for training camp to come around, but we're doing some fun stuff. So check us out there. And of course, the Falcoholic podcast, we've taken a little bit of a hiatus. We're going to kick back in the next week or two, getting ready to talk about training camp, about the upcoming season, some predictions and our expectations, sort of like what we just talked about here. So we've got that going on, and you can find me on Twitter at FalcoholicDW, where I will be ignoring any of your tweets talking about Matt Ryan.
There you go. Last question, DW. Here's the curveball that we talked about earlier.
Oh, boy. Here we go.
Suggested that, oh, you know, today's topics on the Locked On Falcons podcast is going to be easy. But, you know, originally, if I wasn't able to get someone like you on to talk about these various topics, I was going to do a roster prediction episode.
Oh, man.
So, you know, what is your wildest, hottest, whatever roster prediction? What do you think is the biggest weird thing that we'll see at the end of August when this team finalizes its roster?
Oh, man. That is a great one. Holy cow. I think going into 2021, this may not be a really hot take, but this may just be reading the tea leaves, but take it for what you will. I do not think the Falcons will have a fullback. I think they will carry 4 tight ends instead of the usual 3 tight ends and a fullback. I think we're going to see 4 tight ends, no fullback at all on the Falcons roster in 2021.
Okay. This Keith Smith erasure will, you know.
I'm sorry, Keith.
Yeah. it's going to be weird. We spent so many years trying to get a competent fullback, and we get Keith Smith, and then it's like, oh, well, no, we don't need him anyway.
We don't need you anymore.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. Again, DW, thank you for sharing your insights into that, and is certainly I will be rooting for Keith Smith to prove you wrong on that, because I don't know what, you know, I think I put out a tweet a couple of weeks ago where it's like the Falcons have had a fullback on the roster since like 1994 or something like that. So like they've gone like 20 plus years having a fullback on their team. So we'll see if that streak ends. But yeah, anyway, thank you, DW. And
yes, sir.
Look forward to a future conversation with you.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Aaron.
So guys, there you have it. DW of the Falcoholic, and appreciate his insights into this upcoming season. And we'll certainly have several more guests as the next couple of weeks unfold, as we gear up to training camp. And certainly we'll be getting into, you know, some of those training camp previews that DW himself indicated that you can find over at the Falcoholic, as well as on the podcast over there. And, you know, in the meantime, we got two more scouting reports of this Falcons 2021 draft class to get through. And Avery Williams is on deck for tomorrow's episode. And then hopefully Friday should be Frank Darby. I haven't quite finished up the Frank Darby film, but I'm very confident that at this point in time that I will get that done so that we can wrap up this draft class by Friday. And then we can sort of turn our attention to, you know, starting to get into this roster stuff and roster battles next week. As things unfold, but certainly we'll get some more guests on the podcast over the next couple of weeks to give their insights into what's at stake for this upcoming season. And if you guys want to send in any questions or comments or feedback that you want to provide on any of the things that we discussed on today's episode, anything we've discussed on previous episodes, or you have suggestions for things that you believe should be discussed on future episodes, by all means, you can do so by hitting me up on Twitter at Locked On Falcons, on Facebook at Locked On Falcons, or you can send an email to LockedOnFalcons@mail.com. Appreciate it, guys. Till then.